Good morning.
Morning.
Few in number, mighty in spirit, right? I hope you have your Bibles handy. Today, you can be turning to the book of Psalms, and we will spend the majority of our time in that book. I may take a side trip or two, as you know, I often do. But we will be in the book of Psalms, one right after another. So you can be turning to chapter 5. We'll kind of start, maybe even finish there. So, and start out. Let's pick it up in verse 8. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make your way straight before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they tell lies. Spoiler alert today, whenever I read the scriptures, I am going to cherry pick. Your job is to make sure that I am not taking those scriptures out of context. I think you'll find that I am not. But for brevity and for my point making, I am cherry picking throughout. So something that we need to be aware of and reminded of on a daily basis. And sometimes I am as guilty as others of forgetting or neglecting. We need to be aware that there's a war going on. The war is between good and evil, righteousness and wickedness. And today I'm hoping to show the contrast between wickedness and righteousness. But I also want to encourage you that when, not if, but when you are under attack, a good place to go is the book of Psalms, because it often has the contrast between wickedness and righteousness. And so today that's why we are going to go there. And I want you to understand that there is understanding and comfort and guidance when we're in the thick of our lives. Because life happens at life speed, and we don't always take it in. And so, there's a good place to be, to understand and get comfort and get guidance. So this passage tells us, first off, we're going to look at the wicked. The passage tells us that not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their hearts are filled with malice. And I, you know, being me, I'm going to define everything, so, you know, here it is, here we go. It's their intention or their desire to injure. And they have specific ill will. And who's that against? They're enemies of the righteous. And says they are full of malice, so much so, they use their mouth to shoot arrows at the righteous. Let's go to Psalm 55. Psalm 55, verse 21. His talk is as smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. It says the wicked, their talk is so smooth as butter and slick and slippery as oil. Let's look back at the beginning of this psalm, verse 1 through 3. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts are trouble me, and I am distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked. For they bring down suffering on me and assail me in their anger. So I want you to take comfort or understand what's going on here. What the wicked say often troubles the righteous. It says that we're distraught, deeply agitated in our mind, and we're bewildered. And why is that? It's easy to forget when we're here on Wednesday night or here on Sunday morning. We're in a loving community, right? But that's not the way it is in an hour from now, right? Go to Psalm 57. Verse 4. I'm in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among the ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp as swords. He calls them ravenous beasts. Sure looks like they could be kin to the devil, right? Ravenous, hungry. And what are they hungry for? Evil. And their teeth, they're like spears or their arrows. Take note of this. We dwell right in the middle of them. It says right in their midst. And we're forced to. This isn't by choice. You know, I think you'll recall, I've pointed out that Lot made his choice eventually, boom, 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 and moved in town when he could have been out with the sheep and the herds, you know, living in a tent. But no, he chose to move. But anywhere you live now, you're going to be in the midst of them, right? Excuse me a second. Made you all thirsty, didn't I? Turn to Psalm 59, verse 7. See what they spew from their mouths. The words from their lips are sharp as swords. And they think, who can hear us? Hey, Big Al. What would happen if I were to chug this whole Pepsi?
You would have a long, loud belch.
A long, loud belch. In the King James Version in that passage, that's what it says. It says they belch out. They're so full of evil that they can't even hold it in. And they're so confident in their position that they don't think that anyone can hear, nor do they care. Psalm 37. Verse 12. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. The wicked plot. They make secret plans. They've got a scheme. They make a story. I should say they weave a story, right? Let's recall a few wicked plots. Wicked plots from the Pharisees and Sadducees. I'm sure you could think of your own, but these are a couple. We kind of looked at one this morning. Matthew 16:1, show us a sign, they say, right? Show us a sign. Well, were you not around when, let's see, Jesus healed people, drove out demons, fed 5,000 people? No, but they wanted a sign right here, right now. Prove to me that you're the Son of God. The exact same thing that Satan said in the desert. If you are the Son of God, make this bread, make this stone of bread. Matthew 9:19, verse 3. They come to him with their scheme, their plot, their plan, their story. What do you say if, you know, about a man divorcing his wife? They mince their words and they choose them really carefully so that there's only one path that you go down. So they think, right? They try to trap Jesus using the law. How about Matthew 22:17 and 18? What do you say about paying taxes to Caesar? They're trying to get them wrangled into a political argument. And that goes nowhere, right? They plot, they scheme, and they gnash their teeth. Who do they gnash them at? The righteous. And gnashing of your teeth, just my opinion, but I think it's two reasons. One, out of sheer rage. Ah! Or out of regret. Oh! The King James in that version says, they gnash upon him with his teeth. They have such hate. And why do they have such hate? The book of Romans tells us. Romans 1, verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. They gnash their teeth at the righteous because they know that they're wrong. The wicked have regrets. In the parable of the weeds, if you're to read that, Jesus said at the end of the age, we're going to gather up the grain and bring it into the barn. And then he says, we're going to tie up the weeds. And we're going to toss them in to the blazing furnace. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I firmly believe that's because they're going to be able to recall all the opportunities that they had to repent and obey. And there they're going to be in their agony, weeping and gnashing their teeth. Back to Psalms. Psalm 52. Pick it up in verse 3. You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. Well, if you got the NIV or a study Bible, you might have a note at the top of that psalm. It says, for the director of music, a Maskil of David, when Doeg the Edomite had gone to Saul and told him, David has gone to the house of Ahimelech. All right. Well, now, this is speculation on my part, so follow me at your own risk. But this is what I'm gathering. In 1 Samuel, we find that Doeg is a shepherd of Saul. He's one of King Saul's shepherds. And Greg pointed out a couple weeks ago that oftentimes these shepherds were probably lowlives, no accounts, maybe thieves, right? And so he goes to King Saul and says, I know where David is. In verse 1 of that psalm, it reads, why do you boast of evil, you mighty hero? I think David is being a little sarcastic here, right? Hey, king, I found David. Wink, wink, wink. You know, looking for the little bonus there. Verse 2, you who practice deceit, your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor. They practice deceit. Those who are full of falseness. Picture this. He wants to appear helpful, but I believe he has false motives. Possibly trying to destroy David. Verse 4. You love every harmful word, you deceitful tongue. They love every harmful word. So I'm sure we could go on and on and on, but that is a short look at the wicked. Now, let's look at the righteous. Psalm 11. Let's look at verses 4 and 5a. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes everyone on earth. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous. So the Lord examines the righteous. Examine. Careful scrutiny or inquiring inspection. God checks us out carefully, right? And as God checks us out, if there is something that is found that he doesn't like, he cuts it off. He talks about it in John chapter 15, right? When Jesus is talking about the vines and the vine dresser, every branch that doesn't produce fruit, he cuts off. And then he looks at it closer. Hey, it's producing fruit, but it could produce more. So we're snip, 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 and we'll prune it, right? So that it can bear more fruit. Psalm 33. Verse 18. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear, respect, have awe for God, for those whose hope is built on his word, who trust God's word, who trust, who hope in his unfailing love. Turn back a little to Psalm 32. Verses 8 through 11. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all who are upright in heart. Here we see that the unfailing love of God surrounds the righteous. Thank you very much, John, for digging up that song for me. That was a request, right? Back to Psalm 5. Verse 11 and 12. But let all who take refuge in the Lord be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Those who take refuge, those who trust, the King James says, refuge, a shelter or a protection from danger or distress. And who's given us the distress? The wicked. Sometimes in life, we may not discern the protection that God provides us, right? But other times, it's so thick, you need a knife to cut it. One of those times was in the book of Exodus, when Israel was going through the sea, and here they're marching along, and they're being led by the pillar of cloud, if you remember. And then all of a sudden the pillar of cloud went between them and the Egyptians. And on the front side of that cloud, it was light. And the Israelites could see which way to go. And on the back side, it was darkness. You talk about a place I don't want to be. Let's see. Looking ahead, it's dark, dark, dark. And I got a wall of water and a wall of water. Pharaoh, I don't think this was a good idea. Right? It says, God will bless the righteousness and surround them like a shield. I like that. Psalm 75, verses 9 and 10. As for me, I will declare this forever. I will sing praise to God, of the God of Jacob, who says, I will cut off the horns of all the wicked, but the horns of the righteous will be lifted up. The horns of the wicked and the righteous. In the word, horns were often used to refer to strength or power or authority. Right? And there are examples throughout the word about that. Come on Wednesday night. Charles is going to go into that in Daniel 7 here real soon. Other examples are found in Revelation 5, 12, 13, and 17. And this psalm tells us that the horns of the righteous will be lifted up. It reminds me of one of my favorite passages in the Word, and I often talk about it in Isaiah 40, that our strength will be renewed and we will soar on wings like eagles. God will exalt us. God will lift us up. So let's review. The wicked trust nothing that comes out of their mouth. All they want to do is use their mouth to shoot arrows with their words. And their speech is so smooth. They use it as a cover for their evil intent. They're described as being ravenous, hungry beasts, hungry for evil. They belch out their evil boasts. They're so evil they can't even hold it in. And they plot against the righteous, and they gnash their teeth at them. And they want to appear like they're so helpful, yet they love evil. The righteous, they're examined by God. God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be faithful. He wants the righteous to hope and trust in His unfailing love. He surrounds us like a shield. The righteous in times of trouble, they can sing. And in times of victory, they can shout for joy. And God says that He will exalt the horns of the righteous and renew their strength. So, this concludes the sermon that I prepared for you. Now let's talk about the sermon I prepared for me. Is there a contrast in my life? Do I curse my neighbor, whom I can see, with the same mouth that I bless God, who I can't? When people see me, is there a contrast between the wicked and the righteous? I need your prayers each and every day. I hope this all made you think. I know it made me think. Thank you for your time.